If you're visiting here this morning, it's brilliant to have you with us. You are very, very welcome. Do stay behind to chat if you'd like to. And it's just nice to be in from the rain, isn't it, in a bit of dry. And we're looking forward to this morning. Our pastor, John, will be speaking to us a little bit later. And he'll be speaking from Romans 8. And his title is Groans Give Way to Glory. Groans Give Way to Glory. So I'll be looking forward to hearing what John has to say about that a bit later. Well, Christmas is fast approaching, as you may have noticed. And in the foyer, there's a card. It's a big one. And it's one that we can all kind of sign to each other. So obviously, if you want to write lovely cards to each other, of course you can do that. Or give Christmas greetings. But if you'd like to write one for everyone, we can all write our messages in there. And we can all read our messages. And it's a lovely thing to do. So that's in the foyer. And as Christmas comes, of course, we start singing songs that are a bit more linked to Christmas. We've got a couple this morning. They're not quite carols as such, but they do think about Christmas. They celebrate Jesus' coming. But we're also looking forward this morning to Jesus coming again. Jesus' second coming. Not the time when he's going to come as a baby in a manger, but when he's going to come as the King of Kings. That's what we'll be thinking about a bit more this morning. And verse 3 of our first song puts it like this. Quietly he came as a helpless baby. One day in power he will come again. Swift through the skies he will burst with splendor on the earth to reign. So let's sing our first song this morning. Look to the skies, there's a celebration. Do stand if you can.
Nation. you love
carols and you love celebrating Christmas, next Sunday evening we've got our candlelit carol service. So do come along. We'd love to have this place packed out with people singing carols, hearing the word of God and hearing the good news about Jesus. So if you're free next Sunday, 6:30, do come along. We'd love to see you there, or at least see you as much as we can in the darkness with the candlelight. Well, let's pray. Let's bow our heads to our Heavenly Father and pray. Lord God, we thank you that as we've just been singing, this is good news for every nation. Lord, our hope has come. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is the light of the world. Lord, I thank you that he is the one that chases away the gloom. Lord, he is the prince who rules in justice. Lord, he is the one who has conquered sin and death. He is the giver of eternal life. And we thank you, Lord, that this good news has gone out to every nation. Lord, that in every continent and in every country, there are those who know of you and who have heard the good news and who have followed you as their saviour and Lord. And Lord, we pray that it would continue to go out. Lord, we long for it to go out more and more. And we pray that this good news would go more and more into our town, into Crowborough and into the surrounding area. Lord, we pray that you would bring people along, maybe here, maybe to other good Bible teaching churches, to hear the good news of Jesus, the Saviour of the world. Lord, I pray that for those of us who are Christians, as we think about these things, Lord, we'd have a fresh sense of joy because of the life we have in Jesus. And Lord, I pray for all those, especially all those here this morning who don't know you for themselves. Lord, I pray that you'd reveal yourself to them in your glory and in your splendor, that they may see you and that they may turn to you in repentance and trust and love. That they may follow you. Lord, I pray that they may be able to celebrate Jesus' birthday as they celebrate their own spiritual new birth. Lord, how amazing would that be? So Lord, we do thank you for this time of year and all that it means. But Lord, we thank you that you are coming again. Lord, we thank you that you are coming again to reign as the King of Kings. Lord, where you will reign and there will be peace. True peace on earth, over all the earth, and death and sin will be no more. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd make us ready for that day. I pray that we would look forward to that day. Lord, that day would shape our lives as we head towards it. Lord, I thank you that we can be thinking about that more this morning. And I really pray that you'd help John as he speaks to us a bit later about that. Lord, I pray that what we're thinking about this morning will have a real impact on our lives. That as we wake up tomorrow morning and go into the week, whatever the week's got in store for us, Lord, I pray that what we hear this morning may have a real impact on all of that. So Lord, do be with us this morning. I pray, bless us and help us. We pray for your honour and your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, this afternoon, it's a communion service at 3 p.m. for those who come to that. And this week, it's also home groups as well. So for those of you in a home group, Thursday is home groups. If you're not involved in a home group, but would love to be, do speak to myself or John and we'll get you involved in one of those. It'd be great if you can be. Well, we're going to have our first reading this morning. It's not the passage that John is going to be speaking on, but it very much links into the whole theme. So it's going to be from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 16 and into chapter 5 to verse 8. So we're going to start from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and it will be up on the screens as well. Let's read the word of God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Well, we're going to sing again in just a moment. It's another one that talks about celebrating Jesus coming to earth, but also points us forward to him coming again. It's from The Squalor of a Burrowed Stable. And then after that, there isn't a children's talk this morning, but we are going to have a short video about our charity of the month. So I'm going to say a little bit about the charity of the month, and then hopefully there's a short video for us to watch. So let's stand and sing, if you're able to, from The Squalor of a Burrowed Stable. Each month we have a charity that we support. We call it the Charity of the Month, and it's an opportunity for us as a church to give money to whatever charity that we choose for that month and support them. And there's usually a display in the foyer just out there. Hopefully many of you notice it and have a bit of a look at it as you come in or head out or just hang around. But this month, the charity that has been chosen is the Christian Mission to Gaza. The Christian Mission to Gaza. Let me just read you a little bit about it. It says, for years, the Christian Mission to Gaza has been deeply committed to serving those in need, providing hope and sharing God's love with the people of Gaza. Our ministry is rooted in a history of compassion, extending far beyond recent events. And then this is their mission statement. Christian Mission to Gaza exists to work with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, to provide practical and spiritual assistance to persecuted Christians, refugees, orphans and widows in Gaza as well as Jordan and the Middle East, while informing the world of the faith and courage of these brothers and sisters, thereby inspiring believers to a deeper level of commitment to Christ. So they support the one local evangelical church in the region, and they provide food to many. And of course, if you've seen the images and video footage, which I'm sure pretty much all of you will have done, you'll know just how much they need our support. So hopefully the tech will work, and let's watch this video.
Many Christians around the world have their eyes on Israel and Palestine these days. People ask me what I think about this conflict. October 7 should never have happened, but at the same time, we must remember that this conflict has deep roots, going back many generations. My father's generation experienced the oppression and the humiliation of the occupation for a very long time. When I think about this conflict, a question comes to mind, whose side are you on? This question reminds me of the story of Joshua, who when approaching Jericho, encountered a man with a sword in his hand. Joshua asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" The man replied, "Neither. I am the commander of the army of the Lord." A better question, are you on the side of the Lord? Jesus would physically be with the hostages and their families, with the children under the rubble in Gaza, and with the women and civilians killed in both sides. Jesus is my ultimate example. He never took a life. Instead, he gave his life for humanity. Our ministry not only supports the Christian community in Gaza with relief, but also many desperate civilians, including Muslims, in the Gaza Strip. We provide hot meals, drinking water, and essential supplies. Our ministry extended beyond Gaza and the West Bank. We serve over 700 Iraqi Christian refugee families and Syrian families in Jordan. We also have ministries for orphans, widows, and orphanages in Egypt, Lebanon, and the West Bank. With the support of 10 leaders in Gaza, the West Bank, and Jordan, we are able to make a significant impact. Thank you for your partnership and trust. Together, we can continue to reflect Christ's love in these difficult places. God bless you all, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you ever have any questions about Charity of the Month, do speak to Tony. He's probably the biggest expert out of all of us, so do speak to him if you have any questions. But let's pray, and we'll pray for them and for a few other things as well. So let's come again and pray. Lord God, we do pray for that charity, Christian Mission to Gaza. Lord, we thank you for the heart of those who are serving and giving, frankly, their lives to serve others, to bless others, to help others in such need. Lord, I thank you for their energy. But Lord, I pray that you'll sustain them in what must be an incredibly draining situation. And one that just seems to go on and on, with no real light at the end of the tunnel, at least not in the way that many of us would love to see. And so, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen all those who serve. Lord, thank you that they follow your example. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, the ultimate example of someone who quite literally gave his life for us, who sacrificed his body on the cross for us to have life. And Lord, I pray that that may inspire all of us to love others, to serve others, to be a servant like Jesus was. Lord, we pray for all those who they are serving this charity, Lord, in such dire need. Lord, we pray that you would provide for them. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who says you will provide our needs. And Lord, sometimes we can look at situations and we think, well, how on earth are you going to do that? And yet, Lord, there are some wonderful stories throughout history of how you have provided for people when it looks so unlikely. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is more than capable of miracles. And so we do pray for this charity. And Lord, as they say in their statement, Lord, we pray that we as Christians would be encouraged by what they do and how they are. Lord, I pray that we may see their belief in Jesus in a place where they're often persecuted as well for their beliefs. And Lord, help us to be strengthened. Help us to be bold. Help us to love Jesus more. Because so often we can be so comfortable. And Lord, so often their faith puts us to shame. Lord, I pray that you would be a blessing to them. Lord, I thank you that the things that we're looking at this morning would be such an encouragement to them. Lord, we're reminded of the situation in Tunbridge Wells with the water being off and now having to boil it. And Lord, people are talking about how they're just exhausted by it and overwhelmed and struggling to cope. And it is so difficult when something like water goes off. Lord, it makes us realise how much we rely on these things. Oh Lord, I pray that you would help us to be grateful, Lord, not to take these things for granted. Lord, because so often we live in our comfort. We have so much internet and food and drink and water and all these things. And we are so comfortable. And we can forget the struggle that so many are going through where they're struggling to get any of those things. But Lord, we can also forget that you are the great provider. And we forget you. And Lord, as we look throughout the Bible, Lord, we see time and time again that your people, when they're comfortable, they so quickly forget you. And they so quickly go their own way. And Lord, we can be so like that. And Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to love you more, to see our need of you more, to thank you more, to be grateful to you more for all that you give us. Lord, we come here this morning in so many different situations. Lord, with a group of us this size, Lord, we're going to be in so many different circumstances, so many different feelings amongst us this morning. Lord, maybe some are coming here with a sense of rejoicing. Life is fairly smooth at the moment. Maybe they love church. There's a sense of rejoicing. Lord, we praise you for that. I pray that you'd help us to rejoice with them. But Lord, we also know that there are some who will be struggling, some who will be grieving, some facing distress. Maybe that's a public thing that many of us are aware of and know about. Or maybe these are private things that very few, if any, others know about. And yet, Lord, it might feel a weight on them. And so, Lord, we bring us all before you this morning. And we pray, Lord, that this morning may be a real blessing to all of us. Whatever our circumstances, whatever we're facing. Lord, I thank you that your truth is relevant. And that this can give us joy, even in the saddest and darkest of circumstances. And so we praise you for that. Lord, help us to listen this morning. Help us to take in what's being said. Help John as he speaks to us Lord, I pray that you give him clarity and, Lord, that your spirit would work through him this morning so that we may know that we've heard not just the words of John, but we've heard you speaking to us. Lord, we do remember Margaret Payne dying yesterday, 101 years old. Lord, we thank you for the memory of her. Lord, it's sad at these times, of course. And yet, Lord, with her, there seems a sense of triumph as well as she passed into the presence of her Lord and Saviour. Lord, we thank you for the fond memories that many of us have of her. And we remember her life. And we thank you for her and the blessing that she was. And we thank you that she is now safe in your arms, freed from her body. Lord, we praise you for that. And we just pray, Lord, for all those involved in the funeral, Lord, that it would go smoothly and that it would be, even though a sad time, Lord, that it would be a celebration and a time where your name is lifted up and glorified. Lord, we thank you that your word has gone out this week to all ages. It's gone out to the very little ones in First Steps. And it's gone out to those who are more advanced in years in First Tuesday. Lord, we thank you that it's gone out at a holly wreath evening on Friday and then the morning on Saturday. Lord, we thank you that your word, the good news, has gone out. And Lord, we pray that it would be effective. Lord, we pray that there may be seeds that fall on the good soil so that people may know the good news of Jesus Christ, that it may transform their lives. Lord, that they may know the joy you give and that they may know a Christmas of celebrating Jesus, the Saviour of the world. So, Lord, we bring all these things before you this morning. Lord, do hear and answer our prayer, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to have our second reading now from Romans 8. We're going to read from verses 18 to 30, but John's specifically going to be focusing on verses 18 to 25. So that's where he's going to be specifically looking. But we're going to read Romans 8, verses 18, all the way to verse 30. So, Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this we hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Well, we're looking forward to John explaining those things to us shortly. But before that, we're going to sing a couple of songs, both of them very much linked with the theme. The first one is There Is a Day. A fair few of you will know it, some of you might not. It really fits the theme well, which is why John's chosen it. But we've been asked if we can say that even if you do know it, if we can follow Josh's lead as he sings it, that will probably help us all make sure that we come in at the right times and all that sort of thing. So if we follow Josh's lead for this first one and just, yeah, pay attention to the words as we sing. And then the second one after that is Creation Sings the Father's Song. So let's sing those two songs and then John will come and speak to us.
Thank you. So for children and some adults, we're in a waiting period. We're in a waiting period, aren't we? It's countdown time. It's countdown time proper now. Maybe you've been counting, some of you, since sort of September or October, but now we've got into December and you can count down properly towards Christmas. It's an exciting time. Maybe in a few houses there's advent calendars. Are there advent calendars in some of your houses, maybe? With chocolates in, perhaps. Or other delicacies. Older versions, maybe, in some people's houses. Chocolates and Bible verses in one advent calendar that somebody used to have hung up so that they could have the chocolate and be reminded of something about what's happening. Even some pets get in on the act. If you say advent to our dog, then her ears prick up, her eyes open wide, her tail begins to wag, because she's too used to getting a little extra treat with everyone else in the family at this time of year. So we're into the period of Advent, and we think of counting down really to the celebration of the first coming of Jesus. But it's a season that's also meant to take us to thinking of the second coming of Jesus. We'll look at both in the home groups this coming week, those in home groups. But this morning I especially want to lift our sights to thinking of the second coming of Jesus. Not so much the first time when he comes in humility as a baby, but the second time when he comes in power and in glory and in majesty at the end of all things. We're going to do that from the middle of Romans chapter 8. Although it doesn't mention directly his second coming, it's obviously what it's all pointing to. You can see that from elsewhere in the Bible and make those links. And as children wait eagerly, finding it very hard to endure the days, they're waiting eagerly for Christmas. So there is in this passage an eager waiting for the second coming of Jesus. Have a look at the passage if you've got it open in your Bibles or on your app or whatever. You notice the word waiting in verses 18 to 25 at all. If you see it, just sort of shout it out. It gets all our attention to the passage we're speaking from. 19. Thank you. Verse 19. Any others? 25. Anything in between? So the spirit is in there, the attitude of it. And then the word itself is in 23 as well. Wait. So there's no ears pricking up. There's no tail wagging. But the human equivalent, if you like, is going on in this passage as there is a sense of anticipation and waiting for the second coming of Jesus. That's really what we're being encouraged in and the way we're heading this morning. And we're going to look at two main things, going to subdivide it a bit, but two main things from this passage. The first is groaning now. Groaning now. Well, perhaps you say, I know about groaning now. You say, I groaned as I got out of bed this morning. I groan at the fact that I've got to face the next few days with all that's in them. I groan when I hear about what others are going through. I know about groaning. Well, the word groan is in this passage. You see that if you've got it open, have a look. The word groaning is here a few times. We've got it in verse 22, we've got it in verse 23, and if we hop over into the next little passage, we've got it in verse 26. Groaning. A sound made in pain or despair. something similar to sighing. Thankfully, life is not all groans and sighs. There's lots of joys, there's lots of smiles, there's lots of laughter, there's lots of things to look forward to. We're hoping in the next few weeks there'll be many things which are enjoyed greatly. But there is also in life a lot of sighing going on. Is there a lot of sighing going on in your life? I suppose when people love other people, they notice their size. Esther often notices my size. I don't notice my size, but she notices that I'm often sighing when I'm thinking of what's happening or what people are going through. You find life's like that, a lot of sighs, a lot of groans. We're told in this passage that creation groans. Creation groans. It's in verses 20 to 22. It's very interesting. It's big picture stuff here. Let me read it. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. There's frustration in creation. There's futility. There's angst. The world sighs. The environment sighs. Creation really says, how long? Creation says, get me out of here. It's been subjected to futility, difficulty, brokenness. Ever since the Garden of Eden, the history of Genesis 3 gives us the background to this. Let me read partway through verse 17 to 19 of Genesis 3, where the Lord says to Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you will return." So that you see the beauty of a majestic lion, and you see the wonder of a swift running herd of gazelles. And then you see the gazelle in the mouth of the lion, its neck drooped and blood everywhere. And you groan. You see the beauty of mountains and ravines, the snow on top of the mountain. You took a picture of it when you were there on holiday. And then you hear later that there's been an avalanche, which has decimated one of the villages down below. You have a nice bouquet of flowers, or maybe a nice holly wreath. And in a few days, a couple of weeks longer for the holly wreaths, it starts to wilt. It's not the same. It's not on public display anymore. You have a picture of a beautiful seaside and the sand and the clear blue waters and the palm trees. It looks idyllic. You hear it's been devastated by a tsunami. You see a young dog, a family pet, needing to be put down because of a tumour. And you groan. You groan. Creation is, in a sense, sort of tied up, limited by decay. Verse 21, from its bondage to corruption. It's loud and clear. Like childbirth, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Some of you have experienced childbirth. Some of us have witnessed childbirth. It's not a quiet affair, is it? It's not a quiet affair. Remember my hair getting pulled by Esther as she went through the contractions. I didn't bear much pain, but I bore little bits of pain. I can remember it. It's a groaning time, but it leads to life, and creation longs to be passed through the difficulty, the angst and the frustration into the joy that normally follows in childbirth. Creation groans. It's good to remember this in our environmental concern. You know, as we think of the COP summits that there are on the globe, as stewards of God's creation, we want to look after the environment well. We want to make responsible, wise decisions to look after it well and for future generations. But we need to remember that it's proper recovery time is in the future. Creation groans for the second coming. Creation waits for the second coming. But it's not just a creation groaning. We groan. We groan. Verse 23. Verse 23, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for the adoption of sons. We groan in ways that can't always be expressed by words, and we groan in a way that the Spirit is at work in us if we're believers. That comes out in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So the joint continually aches. And it's so painful every time you move and you groan. We can't shake off the cloud of depression. It's just hanging over us day after day, week after week, perhaps month after month, maybe even year after year. And we groan. We're scarred under the hurt and pain of relationship breakdown. And the scars remain. We groan. The things that used to be so easy are now such a massive effort and project just to do what was so easy before. We groan. We feel what feels like the unrepairable heartache of the loss of close loved ones. And we groan. We groan. Our human bodies are weak and frail. They're like tents. Now, it's quite nice being in a tent, isn't it, in fine weather? But it can be very different. And UK camping has its fair share of difference, doesn't it, when you go camping in the UK? And if you're in a weak tent that's battered by the wind and the rain, it creaks. The guys maybe come loose. Tent poles break. We had 2 weeks camping on the Isle of Wight many years ago. And there was a lot of wind and there was a lot of rain. I don't know how many tent poles we replaced. It was at least 5, and I've got memories that it was double figures, but that seems to be an exaggeration, so I'll stick with 5. In our other reading, we had the fact that our bodies are like tents groaning. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. Verse 4. While we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. So we sigh and we groan. Of course, groaning is different from moaning. Groaning sometimes leads to moaning. Moaning is not always a good thing, not always the right way to cope. It's different from groaning and moaning. But we do groan. We groan. There's groaning now. But at the second coming of Jesus, as our title says, groans give way to glory. Groans give way to glory. We have glory coming. Glory coming. Notice the word glory in our passage. Verse 18. The glory. Verse 21. The glory of the children of God. It's indescribably wonderful. It's glory. When he comes back, it will be so different. We can't get our minds around it, but we look forward to it. Glory coming when Jesus comes again. Glory coming for believers. Different aspects of it in this passage. It is incomparable. Isn't verse 18 so heartening? Don't you find? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17 is very similar. For in this light momentary affliction, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. How heavy are your sufferings now? Do they feel weighty? I think for some of you they are very heavy. And sadly for others they will get very heavy. But what of glory ahead if you're a Christian? What of glory ahead? Is it gonna balance it out? Will it be worth going through the difficulties now? Children, you go on a seesaw sometimes, and if you go on a seesaw with a friend, it balances quite nicely, doesn't it? You can sort of have a nice seesaw time, and you weigh roughly the same to and fro. But what about when Grandpa gets on the other end? Or your plump auntie? You just get stuck in the air, don't you? Because all the weight just comes down heavily on one side. And that's the picture here. The sufferings we go through now, the groaning we go through now, it feels so weighty. We're concerned for one another in the weight. But if you compare it to glory, it's nothing. The weight of glory, eternal glory ahead is immense. Be encouraged. Glory ahead is incomparable to the current sufferings and groans. It talks here about freedom. It's described as freedom, hence the picture that you've got there. Verse 21. That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Creation, our lives are now sort of, if you like, bound up with, tied up by brokenness. We can't get away from it. But then there's glorious freedom for us, for creation. The former things are passed away. Don't you love those words in the penultimate chapter of the Bible? And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and he himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We're free from them. The second coming brings freedom from brokenness. Creation will be renewed, 2 Peter 3:13. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Are we being built up a bit in our anticipation this morning as we go through glory? Raising our sights? Renewed bodies is an aspect of what's taught about in these verses. Verse 23. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Our bodies being renewed. They will be changed as Christ's resurrected body was changed. It will still be us, but our bodies will be back to creation perfection. We don't understand, do we? All the ins and outs of it. There's so much we don't understand. How old will we be? What age will we be pitched at? How will it all work? It's so different. We're confined in a world now with its order and brokenness and futility that we just sort of, it's as though we're in the ocean and we don't know what life's like on land. It's just a total different order of things, a different economy of things. It's beyond our conception. 1 Timothy 2 verse 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Philippians 3 tells us about it, relates it even more closely to the second coming of Christ. That chapter ends. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. By the power of God, bodies will be renewed. And it reminds me of a Christmas letter I heard of, which was written last year. I read about it in Evangelicals Now, have referred to it once. It was written by Don Carson. And Don Carson has been a tremendous speaker and author. He's from the other side of the Atlantic, but he's spoken at conferences here. Many of you would have heard of him. Some of you will have his book. So helpful, so insightful. Suffering now the effects of old age. He's had to step back from his involvement in ministry due to limitations from Parkinson's disease. And in his Christmas letter last year, Carson, 78 then, said that while the physical limitations are slowing him down, it's the cognitive limitations, still quite a big word for somebody who's struggling with his mind, isn't he? The mental limitations that are the biggest thing. He shares that when he was with a neurologist, he was struggling to remember what year it was. He couldn't remember who the first president of the United States was. Hard thing for somebody with such a big brain, with such tremendous memory. If you've seen his books, they're very, very learned books. But he ends his Christmas letter in this way. I'm not suffering from anything that a good general resurrection can't fix. Isn't that wonderful? I'm not suffering from anything that a good general resurrection can't fix. And as you think of what you're going through, your limitations, your pain, your brokenness, you're not going through anything, Christian, that a good general resurrection can't fix. Renewed bodies, part of the glory coming when Jesus comes again. So we look forward to it. Lastly, from this passage, perhaps an unexpected aspect to it, but one I think is important to notice if we're going to handle the passage properly, and that is family event. Family event. The whole passage is couched in family language. Paul is talking about the future of God's children. It's true in the verses before our passage, and it's very clear here in the way in which he talks about the second coming. As you can see it in the passage as you look down, family references. Any family references in 18 to 25?
Adoption.
Which verse is that in?
23.
23, thank you. Any others? Sons of God, verse 19. Any others? Children of God, verse 21. So verse 19, the revealing, the sons of God, eager, longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Verse 21, obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Verse 23, we wait eagerly for adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. It's got a family feel to it. God's children will be seen together. It will be an event especially for them. It will be a public display of who's in the family. We will enjoy what the Father has provided for us. Maybe you think of family events ahead. Some of you have got some. Maybe you're one of these people not looking forward to it too much. You're not really a social animal, or maybe you don't get on with the family and, you know, you're quite happy to jump into January. But for many, there's wonderful times ahead, hopefully. Family comes together, a rare thing. Great enjoyment, love the food, love the fun, love the friendship. We rest in a way that we don't other times in the year. And the second coming here is a family event. It's a family event. It's for God's children, especially. You're going to be part of that joy. You're going to be part of that joy. Maybe a sadness in your life. There isn't a good number of people that they haven't really got much of a family to meet up with. Maybe that's a hard thing at this time of year. Or there is family, but the relationships are too fraught or broken that there's not meet up. So that's a sad time of the year. Well, even if that's the case for you, you can still have this family event to look forward to. We know we are part of the family of God. We know we are part of the family of God when we receive Jesus as Lord and Saviour. John 1 verse 12. May give it more attention next week. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Even if you have no family or not much family or difficult family, you can be part of this family. If you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, this will be your future. You may not have any family reunions written later in December for you, But this will be the future for you. The glory ahead is coming your way if you trust in Jesus Christ and receive him as Lord. It's a family event in the way it's described. The second coming of Christ will be an alarming time for those who are not believers. That's clear from the Bible. But those who are believers will be coming together as family to enjoy what God as Father has wonderfully given them to enjoy for eternity. So, we eagerly wait. There are many reasons from this for us to eagerly wait. Advent, the second coming, from groans to glory. You may or may not be waiting for Christmas. You may or may not be counting down with excitement. But that eager longing should be there for the second coming of the Saviour. We should be on tiptoe looking for his coming. We haven't got tails to wag, but our ears should be pricking up. Our eyes should be open at the thought of Advent and the thought of Jesus coming again. Groans give way to glory. Well, shall we sing of this wonderful theme in our final song? Our final song is Rejoicing in Hope. We wait for our King. His coming is sure. His conquest we sing. His hour of returning draws daily more near. With hearts hushed and burning, we see him appear. Let's stand to sing our last song. So Lord, we praise you for the wonderful truth that we have been delving into in these verses. We do share with one another in the pain of this life. We know there are many joys, but we do know there is much pain. And we thank you for the prospect of final deliverance for your children at the coming of Jesus again. Encourage our hearts by this theme and give us a sense of eager waiting and anticipation, we pray. Amen.